changing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. That is interesting. I'm not sure what this, do you know any statistics on if youth revolutions are more common nowadays versus before? Do you think that?
I don't know. I think a lot of revolutions are normally led by the working class or by university students as well, because they mm-hmm. are getting that education on certain economic systems and just like gaining some abilities to like, or at least not ability, but maybe like theory to apply to like their world and see, maybe like I can see how this structure is negatively impacting me and my family and my loved ones versus just, you know, living in this state and maybe accepting the status quo more. Like, I feel like the older you get, the more you tend to accept what is there, but
yeah,
that's just a theory anyways.
That does make sense, because with all the genocide in Gaza protests, we've had a couple at SFU as well, which are students and student-led. And I don't see as many. I do see adults protesting too, but yeah, it normally starts at the university level.
Yeah,
once you're exposed.
Could consider more like quote-unquote like radical movements, even though it's more just movements for human rights, but like that does kind of stem from youth more often. And
yeah,
it is nice to see it happening and like having some real impacts in the world instead of just people talking about it. And like we can actually see in Bangladesh, I think there was also mentions in Kenya this year, Sri Lanka, like similar uprisings.
The Philippines too, I've mm-hmm. I heard.
So like this is, yeah, basically when I saw this news, I thought it was really inspiring, and I kind of was thinking like, could Canada ever, you know, do something similar? Like, could any of these more Western countries, like, who think of themselves as very free and like, what are the other words that we would use to describe ourselves, but like very free, Canada would describe itself as like more socialist and more welcoming, more diverse.
Mm-hmm. I thought about that question a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I do think no, not on the same scale as Nepal. I think particularly because I want to say that Canada is very culturally diverse. And not that that's bad. I think that's a great thing. But maybe that we're too culturally diverse to unify together in a way. Because I feel like in Nepal, the Gen Z, they were all living in kind of similar situations and backgrounds in the very close area, so they can collect together. But in Canada, since we're such a massive place and we have lots of different people all over the place, it's really hard to collectively meet somewhere mm-hmm. and do something about it. So if we did have a revolution, I think it would be a much more specific, unique population. Like, for example, I don't know, maybe the kids in Manitoba who are big into logging and oil, and suddenly all their everything's being replaced by green energy. I feel like maybe they particularly would have a revolution, but I don't think on a massive scale, in my opinion.
I see what you're saying, but also at the same time, with having like a culturally diverse population, I see how that could give people like a perception of division within everyone. But like there are a lot of common experiences that I think unite a lot of the Canadian population at this point, mm-hmm. especially like, because yeah, Canada is also capitalist or operating on capitalist ideologies. So like I think in Vancouver and Toronto, like the homelessness situation is really bad, but like it's definitely different than Nepal. Like each country has its own material factors that are different, because like we have such a big homelessness population, and these are the people who are probably the most affected by like different forms of oppression that are mostly just related to capitalism. But then, you know, they don't even have a lot of resources to like sustain themselves, so let alone thinking about like organizing a revolution. And then who does that leave to organize a revolution? Like I feel like a lot of people in Canada are somewhat comfortable or experiencing some amount of privilege where they don't feel the need, or I think it's either they don't feel the need to like change anything about Canada, or people are so overworked and overstressed that there feels like there's almost no time. So mm-hmm. in Nepal, it seemed like they were pretty much like pushed to the edge where like their citizens were being killed for peaceful protests. And I'm not sure how it would play out in Canada, but I wish like, you know, people would be able to organize a bit more. And I have been seeing on campus, like, there is this group called Socialist Alternative Youth, and I think they're a newer group. And I think there's other political groups that, like, people are out there organizing and it's happening, but it's still, I feel like a lot of people are very nationalistic in Canada as well and very proud of Canada, even though there aren't necessarily a lot of things to be proud of that Canada is doing. Like, I feel like Canada is corrupt in its own way, and it also is corrupt in other countries. Like, it is exploiting people in other countries versus, it's hard to describe. Like, yeah. We're exploiting people in other countries, but we're also exploiting immigrants who come to this country. So, like, I feel like the populations that are most affected by Canada and how it showcases its version of capitalism are the people who are, you know, the most preoccupied with just the stresses of life and, like, needing to deal with those first and foremost.
Yeah, I'd say, yeah, the general Canadian citizen does not really care too much about changing their situation. I mean, there are people in low income, disability leave, or other things that they have their personal problems, but I don't think that it's enough to have a full revolution, because people are like, oh, hey, I have free healthcare. Like, yeah. You know, we got some...
We're better than the U.S.
Ecosystem. Yeah, better than the U.S. You know, and typically I think most of the world thinks that Canada is one of the best countries to live in as well, even though as a world we all deal with corruption and all these things that, you know, we can't be perfect, but, I mean, we got to work on them. Mm-hmm. And Canada is just... It is up there. But I do agree, especially with, I see international students. I think there's so many issues with international students being worked to the bone here, just to pay for their school, which is 4 or 5 times the tuition, which is also going up again this year and next year.
Yeah,
way more than domestic. And I don't feel like that is fair. But is that enough to have a revolution? I don't know. Do others feel strongly enough about that? I don't know.
Because there is this whole, at least I have this personal stereotype of Canadians not, and especially like Canadian youth, not being that political. Like, I think there are a lot more, like in Nepal, for example, like I think people are really invested in their politics, and like the fact that the youth even organize like different candidates to vote for, to like elect in, to like replace the old candidate. Like, there's,
they seem more in tune with fixing their country.
And there's a lot of, at least that I sense from people here, is like there's a lot of complacency and just like, yeah, you're voting and like people vote, but it's, you know, they're not really active like politically outside of that. And I think that's really important to be doing.
I know a lot of students who don't vote.
Yeah, not everyone votes.
Not everyone votes. There's still a big population that doesn't vote. But I don't want to generalize that, because we don't know the specific percentages of how much people vote here versus Nepal or other places. But there will always be a population who just don't care outside their lives, which, nothing against them as a person, but it's just something that it doesn't strike their mind to help others get into a better situation. You know, I mean, it's not the best idea or principle to go by, but there are always people who are like that. And so I don't know about the revolution in Canada. I mean, it can also be for a silly thing as well. You know, when we were having that social media potentially being banned, in, I think it was the U.S., I'm not sure if Canada was also involved with that, but if there was a social media ban in Canada, I think Gen Z would go mad. And so, yeah. You know, there'd be, like, silly revolutions, but I'm not sure about an actual serious one that is, like, you know, we need to go against nepotism specifically or like that.
I think it is possible. Okay, I'm just gonna put my answer out there. Like, I do think it is possible. People just need to get organized and to learn more about how capitalism really does affect us all in some ways, and pretty much all negative ways, except for, you know, the top 1% of people. And if there is an alternative, like, I feel like people feel like they don't have enough power as individuals, and that's why there is the need to organize and to get more and more people involved. So yeah, you guys should check out the Socialist Alternative Youth and other organized. There's also like Anak Bayan. They're pretty cool too. I think they're working with imperialism in the Philippines and also in Canada.
I feel like this also brings up the question that, do you think that kids are these days are too scared to speak up more now than before? Because now with social media, I can't even tell myself if it makes me feel more aware of how others are feeling and wanting to speak up, or makes me feel like I'm shrinking and I'm too small of a voice.
I think it's difficult because we're so politically divided. I think that's why, like, if anyone says anything about one side or the other, like, people from the opposite side are going to be like flooding the comments and you know, basically just pummeling them down. But like, the division is just an illusion, guys. Like, we're all part of the same, like,
we're all human
system, you know? And like, we're all, yeah, we're all human. But I also just wanted to note that, like, Canada thinks of itself as so, like, such a good country. And I feel like I have this issue with a lot of older Canadians, or even like anyone that I've interacted with, is like, oh, we think we're like such a good country, and then we like look down on other countries that like don't have like social programs like us, or like who aren't super diverse, even though there's so much racism and like institutional oppression in Canada. But we see these countries like Nepal and like Bangladesh, who are actually like standing up for themselves and for like the other people that they also like, their fellow citizens. And I just wanted, basically, I just want to say that, like, referring to them as, like, a developing country, I'm not trying to, like, call you out or anything, but it's also just, like, they are in certain situations because of, like, colonialism and imperialism, and, like, we continue to profit off of that and then call ourselves, like, oh, like, we're a fully developed country. And I know, like, that is not what you intended with it, and that's not what most people intend with it. Like, that's just common language that we're taught to use in Canada, and like, you know, is pretty well accepted. But it's also like, I'm not sure if you know, it's like the best distinction to make between us, because Canada is just like, we're not doing the best things to people in these countries either. Yeah, it's hard to,
because I used to say third world country, which is even worse. So I moved on to develop, but I didn't really want to say poor country.
Yeah, like, I'm not sure exactly the best way. I normally say like Western or like Global South, but if you guys know a better way to look at it, let us know, and I'll also look into it. But just a note to like think about too.
Yeah, just say, I mean, lower income country, I'd say, like, for now. Yeah, it's
less wealthy.
It's definitely a different kind of world. That We should definitely take STEM ideas from and see what we can do about change here.
And also, they have a 20... I thought it was so interesting, because they have a 20% youth unemployment rate, but then in Canada, in BC, I think it was 2024, we had a 17.9% unemployment rate for youth. And that's, like, pretty much 18%.
Yeah,
and that's
actually now.
Almost, like, pretty much... Like, it's been... It rose 10% since 2022. So we're like also kind of getting to a very high youth unemployment rate, which I thought was like pretty interesting, because that's very similar to Nepal's youth unemployment rate, which was like a big reason people also revolted. So there are like similarities between Canada and Nepal.
That is true. Well, that is very true. Yeah, recently all my mom and I have been talking about is the youth unemployment rate, or just unemployment rate in general, because kids these days, university kids, there's so many articles out there right now because no one can find a job. And all the full-time jobs are now part-time jobs. Part-time is casual. And I don't think, do you think there'd be an implication for a revolution though in BC? I don't think we have the capacity to do that.
Not sure yet. I mean, there's always a possibility, but it just depends like how much people reach crisis in their own lives and see it in other people's lives, like what is the solution? Because obviously things just seem to be getting worse and worse at this point. Like, there doesn't seem to be much hope. Also, one other thing is that there is, like, also kind of nepotism in Canadian politics, too. Like, just think about Justin Trudeau. Like, it's not, like, full nepotism in that way, but, you know, like, we have similar figures in our political systems, like, reappearing. And,
Something to food ponder. For thought.
Yeah, food for thought.
Food for thought. But, yeah, that's kind of our... That is our discussion on... the protest by Gen Z in Nepal. Also, some questions that we thought and we'll keep pondering for the next while.
About, and you should too.
That you should too. About revolutions and the way that our countries are structured. But that's all we have for tonight for that. We are going to continue on to the music for the last 15 minutes of our hour. So I think it is still up to me. So this next one is, I believe, an artist from Kosovo, which is a country in Eastern Europe, which I've never heard of. I had to look up on a map because I didn't know where this was.
Me neither.
I thought it was a place in Russia. It is not a place in Russia.
God forbid.
Yeah. But this song is in Albanian, but the artist is based in Toronto. So... what you're about to listen to is called Perkon by the artist Sahadi. Enjoy. Thank you.
Renaissance Coffee is open at SFU. Parminder and his team have been serving the SFU community with great coffee for more than 20 years. If you're looking for a wholesome meal, delectable desserts, or something to warm yourself and lift your spirits, Renaissance Cafe is a place to be, featuring fair trade espresso beverages and brewed coffee. Renaissance Coffee is open Monday to Friday from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Well, how do you get up and go?
With Canada's health system under strain, going digital can help heal our healthcare. From virtual visits for everyday concerns, to faster, more accurate diagnostics powered by AI, technology is transforming care. Digital Health Canada supports the people and innovations behind this change. Learn more at digitalhealthcanada.com and subscribe to our podcast.
Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby, community campus community radio from Simon Fraser University. I caught DJ Star off guard.
Yeah, just had to throw on these headphones. having a zone out moment.
The last song you just heard was called Running From Yourself by the artist Rez. Awesome song, actually. Should have started off with the song because it went more with the vibe of the episode.
Yeah, we were looking at like pictures from the protest where like the parliament was burning and then listening to this dark techno. We were like,
So that song was from the album As the Pendulum Swings. Rez is known as the queen of dark techno and also dabbles in industrial music, and she is a multiple Juno Award winner. And she just recently got married to her girlfriend, so congratulations, Rez.
Congratulations. And the song that you heard before was Desire Machine by Spirit Blue, one of my personal favorites.
And we are signing off for the night since we only have a couple minutes before our show ends. So thank you so much for sticking around and tuning in. We really appreciate it. We will be back next Tuesday, 6 to 7, with a new topic. And next up will be an open mic slot. So if you'd like to try out radio, then come by to the station and go to the training studio and start your own open mic right beside us.
And also, CJSF has a few Welcome Week events coming up next week. I think they're on Wednesday and Thursday, 5 to 8 p.m. next week. So if you want to come down to the station, say hi, meet and greet with fellow CJSFers.
Please do.
You should do that.
We would love to meet you, whoever you... the listener who's listening.
Whoever you are. Come on in. There will be pizza and you will be welcomed for sure.
Okay. Anyways, thank you once again. We are going to sign off, but we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. See you guys next week, Tuesdays at 6 p.m.